first, let's get the pipe in place. Let's get that relationship in a Malachi 4:6 kind of way. But after we get the pipe in place, now the question is, what do we as families put in that pipe that the children need? Now, teenagers, children, I've got a great suggestion for how you don't get bored out of your mind on this topic this evening. Teenagers especially, I want you to think how quick it's going to be that you're going to be married and making babies. I want you to think, really, in terms of an entire life, that's just a little bit away. And from the get-go, you're going to have to figure stuff out exactly like we're talking about today. So teenagers, what I would encourage you to do is I would encourage you to think through that and just say, hey, do I believe what that man say? Do I think that's a good way to rear my children? So you're already making notes to yourself to say, yeah, boy, that's consistent with Scripture. I would like to be that kind of dad. I'd like to be that kind of mom. Teenagers, I think if you'll approach this talk that way, you're going to find this pretty interesting. The outline I want to give all of you is this. Most of us like something simple that we can remember. I'm going to give you an outline of what to do daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. Daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. And I see several of you taking notes. That's always a smart thing to do. If your memory especially is escaping you day by day, it's always good to write something down. So if you want to use that for your outline, I'm going to show you things that you can put in the pipe every day, some things you can put in the pipe once a week, some things you can put in the pipe about once a month, and some things you could put in the pipe about once a year. You with me? Okay, parents, here we go. Daily. My first, I think that's... When you don't pay your bills, they will not turn you loose. They just come after you. They'll find you at church. They'll find you most anywhere, I'm telling you. Something about breaking his legs. I think that's what the calls usually are about. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, number one, pray for your children. Pray for your children, of course, every day. Now, most of us have been woken up in the night by a sound. I think almost every one of us in the middle of the night have heard something break or heard a noise, and it just makes you completely awake. I think you can identify. Parents, let me give you a scenario. You wake up in the middle of the night, some sound in the house, and at first you think, I wonder if that silly vase finally fell off, but it doesn't stop. You can tell that somebody is rustling around outside there in the living area. And you're thinking to yourself, at 2 in the morning, would somebody be breaking in my house for any good purpose? Well, no. And then you notice, just by paying attention to where the sounds are, you can tell this man is closer to your kids than you are at the moment. Okay, what are you going to do in that scenario? Okay, there's two things you can do. One thing you can do is, especially if you have carpet in the bedroom, one thing you can do is slide your knee over onto the floor and silently crawl into your closet, kind of pull up in a fetal position and just decide, I'm going to let that man do to my kids whatever he wants to do, and then when he is gone, I'll go in there and take care of whatever has happened. That's one possibility. The other possibility is you jump out of bed, you grab the heaviest thing you can find, and you go get in between that man and your children, and you just decide, I don't care what, he's not getting to my kids. And men, I don't think we're the only ones. I think these mama bears are going to go claw somebody's eyes out. Now, that's just what parents do. Okay, watch. There's a bad man in your house. The Bible calls him a lion roaming about, seeing who he's going to devour. He's got designs on your kids that would make your blood run cold. And he is around. Now the question is, what are you going to do about it? Well, you've got two scenarios. By staying in bed of a morning and getting a little bit extra sleep, you in essence are saying, I'm just going to stay in here in a fetal position. I'm going to let the bad man have my kids. And by just getting some extra sleep, I'll stay out of it and he can have his way. The alternative is, I'm setting that alarm a little bit earlier. I am getting out of bed, and I'm going to fight for my kids. But in this case, I'm going to fight for my kids on my knees. It's just deciding I'm not going to have children leave my house that have not been specifically prayed over every single morning. If you think God answers prayer, if that happens to be what you believe, then when he's leaning over the edge of heaven and he's looking down on Breckenridge, do you think it matters that he hears the names of your children? Yes or no? Do you think that makes any difference? Or do you think prayer is just kind of a silly ritual? If you think it matters, if you think hearing your children's names matters to God, then that's what motivates us to get up and pray over them. For kids to go out into this kind of culture today without being prayed over, me oh my. And some of you adults, especially some of you older adults that don't have children in your house, it ought to just occur to you, there's some children in our church that I love, little rugrats whose mom and dads don't necessarily come to church or anything, and you might say to yourself, I'll bet you anything, their name is not called in prayer one single time in a day's time. And by George, I'm going to stand in that gap. I just bet you nobody else is going to call their name, but I will. Now, you might eventually tell them that you pray for them every day. Actually, I think that'd be a pretty sweet thing. But the main issue is the power of prayer to change the direction of people's lives. So that's number one. Number two, pray with your children every day. Pray with your children. Brother Jimmy wisely read for us this morning the first few verses from Deuteronomy 6. That is a pivotal section of Scripture about how moms and dads spiritually lead at home. And you might remember from the Scripture reading this morning that we are to spiritually lead when you rise up and when you lie down. When you rise up and when you lie down. I just think there's something important about the beginning of the day or the ending of the day, and that becomes a wonderful time to pray with our kids. Now, if you parents were Christians when you were first having children, some of you were, some of you weren't, but if you were a believer when you first had kids, I'll bet you anything you went to those bedrooms and you prayed with those little toddlers, maybe read a Bible story or something. Bet you did that. And that's wonderful. But I want to ask you an interesting question. Who do you think really needs prayer more today in this kind of world? Who do you think really needs prayer more? A 1-year-old or a 15-year-old? You see, some parents would say, yeah, when those kids were little, I just remember praying every single night. I don't know how we ever quit that. I don't know why that ever stopped. But when I stop and think about it, my soul. A 10-year-old needs to be prayed with every day. A 16-year-old needs to be prayed with every day. Now, this pattern wouldn't fit any of you. I'm not even suggesting this. I'm just showing you that we can pray at the beginning of the day. We can pray at the end of the day. For Clayton, the easiest time for us to pray together in junior high and high school was at the beginning of the day. That was just our deal. I knew when Clayton woke up in junior high, I knew the first thing he would do would be stumble down to the bathroom to get a shower. That boy doesn't have his worship time first thing because he doesn't know he believes in Jesus when he first wakes up. That guy, he is just a zombie when he first wakes up. He's exactly like his mother in that regard. I'm up at 4:30 every morning and I want to go change the world in 5 minutes. But they're made exactly the opposite. Of course, you ought to see me at 9 o'clock at night. I'm pretty hilarious, too. So I always knew when Clayton's alarm was going off, when I heard that cell phone making disgusting sounds, I knew he would be walking directly toward that bathroom to get a shower. So I would just be finishing my worship usually about then. So I would just walk down the same hallway, and I would catch him midway. And I'd just put my big arms around that boy and just pull him over, put his head on my shoulder, and just say a prayer. Not long, not boring, but I would pray about whatever was going on. I'd say, Dear God, I know Clayton's supposed to give a devotional at FCA this morning. I pray you'll give him something from Scripture that would be meaningful to the students. I pray you'd get those athletes out of the gym, let them smell the donuts or something, but just bring them in. And I just pray Clayton's words will have power today. Amen. Or, dear Jesus, I know my son's embarrassed today. He doesn't want to go to school. Getting broken up with right before prom. He thinks everybody at school's laughing at him. I just pray you'd give him confidence, help him to hold his head high, and get through the day. In your name, amen. So whatever fit the situation, that's the way I would pray for him. Well, Clayton moved into the dorm, you know, to begin college. And after about a month, I said, hey, Clayton, what do you think about dorm life? How do you like that? And he said, well, Dad, I love living in the dorm. He said, the guys are great, airsoft in the halls. He said, we just have a great time. He said, we have a great time in the dorm. And he said, but I will say this. He said, I sure do miss you praying over me every morning. Now, that meant a lot to me. That meant that mattered to him. It mattered to him spiritually that his dad was praying over him every morning. And interestingly, now we've started doing that again by telephone, and I think it's because he remembers that meant something to him. Pray with your children. Now, some of you would say, oh, you ought to see our mornings. That'd never work. Okay, would bedtime work? You say, well, Dad works late shift. No, that's not ever going to work. Well, how about just at the end of the supper, before everybody scatters, just say, okay, could we hang around one more minute? Just one more minute? Could we just join hands and pray just for a minute? I want to encourage you, in every family represented here where there are children, you guys just figure it out. Where in your busy schedule can you pray together every day? Now, maybe the whole family could say a prayer together. That's wonderful. But if things don't exactly work out that way, then how will every parent pray with somebody every day? Once again, it's not just the fact that we enjoy the prayer. It is the issue that prayer changes things. And if we believe that, then we want to pray over each other every day. Number three, this is all still daily. Number three, teach your children as you walk in the way. Teach your children as you walk in the way. Now that phrase, of course, is coming from Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, just like the others. God is saying through Moses, I want you to spiritually teach your children in part as you walk in the way. You know what that really means? On the way to soccer practice. That's what that really means. It means when you're just out there doing whatever you do as a family. It's not something that you organize. It's not a particular day and time. That scripture is really referring to mom, dad, you're in the minivan, you're running kids around, you're picking up people from school, you're heading to church, and you are always watching for these little teachable moments when you can drop in a little bit of truth. Now, how come this morning did I say mom or dad has so much more influence than a whole platform full of people over here? Well, one of the reasons is these people have 30 or 35 minutes to teach some kind of lesson. These people have 168 hours. It is the fact that we're doing things together in so many hours of our lives that give these people an opportunity to just keep dropping in truth, just dropping in truth. So mom and dad, what you have to do is you have to on purpose get your mind working that way. You have to on purpose say, I just need to keep thinking about what could we talk about here that would have some value. I used to pick up Clayton from school during one little piece of our lives, and I was so uncreative. You know, I'd pick Clayton up from junior high. Hey, Clayton, how was your day? Fine. Well, okay, that was a great conversation. Rich, deep, meaningful. Why not talk about something that's important, something that would matter? So we teach as we walk in the way. Number four, model the Christian life. Model the Christian life. I want to show you something that you may remember as long as you remember the pipe. This is a pretty good analogy. Most of you, but not all of you, most of you go to the movies. If you don't go to the movies, you know about the movies, but a lot of you go. And a lot of you would say, I don't go to many movies, but one movie I will go to is if somebody, you know, wrote a great novel, Once Upon a Time, it's a famous classic novel, and then they turn around and create a movie out of that, some of you would say, boy, I'm interested in that. I like taking a great book and then watching that on the big screen. You might say, I loved watching Lord of the Rings that way. I loved watching Narnia that way. That we all know examples of people that have taken novels and have made movies out of that. Okay, just look here at me. Look. This is the novel, so to speak. You are the movie based on the novel. You're the video. Now, do the kids need the novel? Absolutely. That's why we've got them up here Sundays and Wednesdays saying, hey guys, you need to know this. You bet they need to know this. But you know what else they need? They need to see in living color, they need to see what this looks like when it's actually lived out. They need the 3D, high definition, Technicolor version of this. It is a great privilege, but also a great responsibility to say, when I'm walking around my house, when I'm just being me, my kids are literally watching a movie, trying to figure out what does this look like in everyday life. Now that actually is helpful for me to process when I'm in front of Clayton. Somebody cuts me off in traffic and almost runs me in a ditch. Okay, at that moment, the way I react to that situation, it's part of the movie. I'm showing him this is what a biblical life looks like at that moment. I could use 10,000 other illustrations. So Mom and Dad, this is what I want to say to you. Teenagers, this is what I want to say to you guys about your future family. We get into this book primarily to bring glory to Christ ourselves. That's our primary reason for going here. But the number two reason is I'm always looking for ways that my life can become more this, because I know if I am more this, then when my children imitate me, guess what? They're more this. My wife was kidding around with Clayton and me the other day. Clayton was just kind of standing there. And she said, Clayton, look what you're doing. She said, look at your hands. And Clayton said, what's wrong with my hands? And she said, look how high up they are. She said, nobody stands that way. She said, your hands are way up here like this. And she said, do you know the only person on earth that does that? It's your daddy. Your daddy stands just like that when he's just bored or something. And I went, no, I don't. She said, that's the only way you ever stand. She said, you put your hands up really high. And she said, and now Clayton is doing exactly the same thing. And we both looked at each other and we said, that's scary. I promise you, I went in a guest bedroom in our house. And in the guest bedroom was a picture of my dad in the Battle of the Bulge. He's a 19, 20-year-old kid who survived the Battle of the Bulge. And somebody snapped a picture that he kept, and we made it into an 8x10, and that is in the bedroom. And he is standing just... I promise you, he's got his fatigues on, and he is standing there just like that. Third generation is doing this. Third generation. I talked to a man the other day, and he said, a middle-aged man. He said, I went back for my high school reunion. And he said, you know, I went to the football game. He said, I just thought that would be fun to go to the football game. And he said, I was just watching players on the field, but I was also watching other teenagers just walking around. And he said, I didn't know anybody's name, but he said, I could pick out certain kids, and I knew who their dad was because of the way they were carrying themselves, because of some things, some manner. He said, I know who that is. Parents, that is a fact of life. So the exciting thing for us as believers is, if my movie is mostly this, that is what my kids are going to imitate. And every time they do, every time they see something and it makes sense to them and they grab that, that moment is worth about 20 Sunday school lessons piled together, because it's my mom and dad. It's just my mom and dad that's doing that. Okay, all of those are daily. You ready for weekly? I know you high academic students would say, Doc, we are ready. I got this. Let's move on. weekly. Worship as a family once a week. Worship as a family once a week. Now some of you might say, Brother Richard, where in the Bible does it say, lo, every 7 days, gather thee family? Doesn't say it. I'm just telling you this is a Richard Ross suggestion that is not flowing out of Scripture. We worship on Sunday mornings once a week, and I think there's a nice flow to that. So I'm just making a general suggestion. We know clearly we're supposed to get the kids together and do something more than just say a prayer. We know that because of Deuteronomy 6. Teach as you walk in the way, when you rise up, when you lie down. But the other phrase is, when you sit in your house, when you sit in your house. I think that's something you do on purpose. Now, there's a lot of phrases for that. Some people today are calling that a faith conversation. We get the kids together and we have a faith conversation. I kind of like that. Other people would call it a family altar. You senior adults would say, I grew up in a day when we called that the family altar. You might call it family worship. It doesn't matter what you call it. It just matters that you do it. So here's what I'm thinking. Yes, we're going to pray every day. Christian families do that. But I would say, beyond just a prayer, at least once a week, you add some more minutes to that, and you do something that would be a little bit richer than just one prayer. Now, if Dad is a believer, Dad leads out. If Dad's lost, or Dad ran off to California, or Dad went to heaven, Mom leads out. Now, every mom would wish her husband would do this, but that's not the situation in every family. But if Dad's a believer, we lead out. And some of you men at this very moment might say, Brother Richard, to be perfectly honest, I've never been to your seminary. I've never had any theology classes. If I get my kids out of their bedrooms and tell them to turn off all their technology and I get them on the couch and they do that, I'm just telling you, I'm not going to know what to say next. Okay, let's talk about it. Let's just be very practical. If you got the kids out of their bedrooms, whether they're preschoolers or teenagers, and you're going to sit down for a few minutes, this is what I would do. I would do something that involves opening the Bible. Now I want to give you some very practical things you could do. You could start every Sunday morning in worship, taking your bulletin and a pen. And you just know every Sunday morning during the sermon, I'm looking for some interesting question. I'm looking for some interesting topic. I'm looking for something I can draw out of that sermon, and that's going to be my deal with my family. So you're watching for that. And so when you get the kids together, turn off the TV, and you say, hey, guys, grab your Bibles just for a minute. Come on. First thing you say is, listen, last Sunday morning, Brother Don, you know, he was talking to us about this and that, and I just thought he made a really interesting point. So let me just ask you guys a question. And so that's kind of your discussion. Another possibility would be to do almost the same thing, but do that during your Bible study hour. Just say, every Sunday morning, I'm always watching for something in my Sunday school lesson that I could use as an interesting subject with my kids. That's a possibility. But let me tell you what would be the best. And I think Pastor would agree with me on this. The best would be when you say, hey guys, open your Bibles, Ephesians. This morning, when I was before God with my Bible, God showed me something this morning, and I've been looking forward all day long to sharing this with you guys. That's the best. You know why? Because that's my dad. And he's telling me something that God told him out of God's Word. So those are three good alternatives. You're going to pull something out of the sermon. You're going to pull something out of your Sunday school lesson. You're going to pull something directly out of your morning time in Scripture. All those are a good plan. The point is, those five-year-olds have their little Bibles open. Maybe they don't understand everything, but they understand some. Or your three teenagers have got their Bibles open and they're kind of tracking with you. Have a great discussion about that. And, of course, prayer. Now, prayer doesn't have to be boring. Prayer can be interesting. What if, the scripture that y'all were talking about has to do with making Christ more famous in the community? What if the scripture was about that? Instead of just saying, hey, everybody, duck your head and let's pray, you could say, hey, Am I going to get feedback off of that? You could say, come here, guys, come to the window. But come on, let's just line up right here. Now, we're going to... I knew that was going to happen. You could say, let's pray looking out the window at our neighborhood, and let's just pray that God would give us some creative ways to talk about Him out there. And so that's where your prayer is. Dad whispers to Mom, says, okay, kids, keep your seats. Mom and Dad, they stand up. They walk around. Put their hands on the two little shoulders right here. And those parents just go child to child. And they're just praying a blessing over each one by name. So that's a different kind of prayer. It doesn't have to be the same every night. We can change that up. It could be that the family just knows one of our members here is kind of having a hard week. So-and-so didn't get elected cheerleader, and she's really discouraged about that. So, hey, family, come on. Let's get around Sarah tonight. Everybody get around Sarah. Let's just put our hands on her, and let's just pray for her because she's had a really disappointing week. Or whatever the situation is, you just change up prayer so that it doesn't become boring. You want to keep it interesting. Okay, parents, I'm going to ask you a question that might hit you a little bit hard. Do you want to think that your grandchildren will be in a home where that little family reads God's word and prays together? Do you want your grandchildren to be in a home where somebody is reading the Bible and praying with them? I know you do. Do you know what the most likely way to make that happen is? Do that so consistently with your children that when they have their own family, they can't imagine doing anything different from that, you see? You're just passing on a heritage to the third generation. Now that is weekly. How about monthly? Monthly. Write it down this way. Serve others in Christ's name as a family. Serve others in Christ's name as a family. Now, once again, don't ask me to show you the verse and chapter where Jesus says do that every 30 days. I'm just giving you a kind of a goal, a general goal. Now, I'm sure, since I've fallen in love with this church today, I'm sure from time to time you folk have mission projects. I'm sure from time to time somebody says there's a situation in Breckenridge that we ought to do something about, and y'all rally around and the church goes out and helps somebody. I know you do that. You ought to keep doing it, and not any less than that. But I want to give you a suggestion for adding to. And that is individual families saying, we also are watching for things we can do to help people in the name of Christ, but to do it as a family. Now let me just emphasize, in the name of Christ. I'm not talking about some bleeding hearts, let's just go out there and be general social activists. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about caring for people in practical ways, but letting them know it is by the love of Christ that we have come to feed you today. It is by the love of Christ that we're painting your house for you today. Let them know this is from Jesus, or it doesn't do much supernatural good. But I want you to think about your family. You see, somebody could say, Brother Richard, our children, they do mission work at Christmas, and our teenagers, they go over here and do this, and our adult school, why add something else? Parents, the research says the most powerful spiritual memory that children can take away from a home situation is me and my family did things for people for God. That is the strongest memory they can take with them as they're growing up. My wife grew up in Jayton. Some of y'all know where Jayton is, not too far away. Home of the Fighting Jayton Jaybirds. Boy, isn't that terrifying. If I called my wife on the cell phone right now and put it on the microphone, it'd be interesting to ask her point blank, LaWanna, tell me your favorite Christmas memory. But I'm pretty sure what she would say. I'm pretty sure she would say, now they were farmers, I mean straight out dirt farmers outside of Jayton. But I think she would say, out of all of my years, I think my favorite Christmas was the time I was a little girl, had a little brother, She said, my dad came in, must have been about Christmas Eve, and he said, family, I've just been down there to the little house. I'd call it a shack. A little house where we let people live while they're helping with our crops. He said, I was just down there. He said, it's pretty sad. He said, there's no Christmas down there at all. He said, we can't pay much, you know that. And he said, I guess it just takes everything they get to live. And he said, there just wasn't anything in that house that looked like Christmas. All those little kids down there. I don't know if I can do this or not. She said, my daddy said, Thelma, you make so much food for Christmas dinner, we have to throw some of it out after it gets old after 2 or 3 weeks. We can't even eat it in a week. Now, why couldn't we take some of that food down there and still have plenty for ourselves? And he said, kids, you've been looking at this tree for weeks, and we've enjoyed it. But I just wondered, just for one day, couldn't we take that tree down there? And I just know there's too many presents. We can't play with all this stuff. So why don't we take a few? And she said, we got in that pickup and stood that tree up in the back. And we went down to that shack. She said, you couldn't even believe the joy on those children's faces. Watching presents come in, the shiny tree. I think my wife would say today, that was my favorite Christmas of all. Now, if First Baptist Church of Jayton, Texas had helped those people, it would have been a good thing. It would have. But you know what my wife's memory is? My family. We did that. We did that. That's a blessing. It's a blessing. Now, parents, those of you with teenagers and even older grade schoolers, these kids are so good on the computer and whatnot. And a lot of times teenagers today, they're just interested in things that are not right, things that are not fair. So I think sometimes, parents, you could just say to the kids, what bothers you? What do you think happens to people that's not a good thing? Why don't you get on the computer and find out something that we could do? What's a group we could help? And all of a sudden, this little plan pops up, and you say, okay, we could take half a Saturday and go do that. Now, we're busy people. We got things to do. But you know what? It won't be the end of the world if we take half our Saturday to do that. And Mom and Dad, you're thinking in the back of your mind, in addition to doing something for Jesus, my kids grow up remembering my family did things for him, you see? And it becomes a spiritual marker. Now, I'll grant you, to do this once a month, you got to be paying attention because you're trying to figure out, well, here's something that's not right in Breckenridge, and here's a family down here, and here's a little church that's just about to close shop. They could use a little paint. Here's something over here. But if you're just paying attention and you're talking as a family and everybody says, who do you know at school? Who's kind of in a jam right now? Do you have some friends that are in a mess? Do you know of some organization in town that needs a little bit of help? I think in a month's time, y'all could probably come up with something. Those of you with little people, your project would have to fit that. We can't have them roofing houses or something like that. So you're just, might give them shingles. Who knows? But you're just looking for something. Well, what could our little crew do that might help somebody out? Since my mother was just in hospice, I would say this. Those people don't just need good music at Christmas time. For you to go into a nursing home or a hospice or something like that with your four preschoolers and sing a couple of songs, I'm telling you, you're going to have people bawling with joy that somebody remembered them and came out. Well, that doesn't take a lot of your time, but it makes him more famous on the earth. And it builds a memory within our kids that lasts a lifetime. You see, when they come back to your house when they're grown, and they're sitting at your Thanksgiving table, you know what the grown-up kids do. They just yak, 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 talking about their memories of growing up. That's what kids do. And I think it will amaze some of you that the first stories that come up will be stories like, don't y'all remember that time when we went down there and gave those people Christmas? That's stuff that sticks in people's minds a lifetime. Number last, yearly. If you know how to do ditto marks, you got it made here. Serve others in Christ's name as a family away. serve others in Christ's name as a family away. Monthly, I think we can do that around here. I think around here there's enough things that are wrong, enough families that are struggling, enough senior adults that are in a bind, that we can find things to do. But my challenge to you is, once a year, what if you went someplace else to do that? Say, Brother Richard, are you talking about a family mission trip? Well, maybe. That's one option. To say, I get 2 weeks off work, so why don't we just have a pure vacation for 1 week, but how about for another week, we as a family go someplace else, and we enjoy each other, you know, but we also do something that would change the world. Now, I talked about teenagers in the internet. Now, see, that's where that becomes really important, because we might say to each other, we want to go to San Antonio, we want to ride down the river, we want to see several things, but kids, couldn't we do something down there that would help change the world? Now, what needs doing? Who's got a situation? Who's got something that needs to be done? What organization needs some help? Could we ride the rides for 5 days and then do something to help people the last day? I do believe we're about to enter a period of time that we're going to begin to see more families going out to do kingdom things together. Say, Brother Richard, I work hard. I really work hard. I look forward to that vacation time. I understand that completely. But you know what we most need? We need a break from our jobs. We need a change of pace. We need to do something that's just different from what we do at work all day. And I think for some of us to say, my family went over here and actually we had fun together. We laughed, we giggled, we painted each other. We got silly. We went to the motel swimming pool every single night, had a good time. I think we could come back as refreshed as we can from some more typical vacations. The most beat up, tired, and exhausted human beings I've ever seen in my life are those streaming out of a Disney park at the end of the day. Those people are ready to kill their kids. And to necessarily say that is the most relaxing vacation we ever had, I'm not sure that is always the case. So the point I'm making is, I think we can have a vacation and come back saying, boy, that's one of the best times we've ever had. And if you're really not ready for a full-blown mission trip for a week, I would encourage all of you to think, on a more typical vacation, is there something we can just add to that? Could we add a day? Could we shift over one day and do something that would be kingdom-focused? And guess what? When your kids are 30 or 40, they don't remember the rides at all. They don't even talk about that. What they remember is, don't y'all remember that last day we went under that overpass and found that family that was living under that overpass? Don't y'all remember helping those people? That is what will end up staying in their minds. That's why I'm encouraging you to do it. Now, put all this together. We've got kids, before they even wake up, they've been prayed over. And then, sometime in the morning or the evening, Mom or Dad's going to come and pray with them, sweet prayer, every single day. And then about once a week, the whole family's going to get together, open God's Word, share some Scripture, pray more as a family. And every once in a while, we're all jumping in the minivan and we're going out and helping people and just having a blast doing it because we're doing it in Jesus' name. When those kids turn 18 and they go down to UT Austin, check into that dorm, full of young adults with every problem on earth, don't you think our kids would stand a pretty good chance of just walking straight through that, stay in love with Jesus, go find a good church in Austin, go on mission trips instead of going spring break, be drunk all week, just skating above all of that other stuff because their hearts are full of love for Him? And teenagers, I say to you again, it is not going to be long at all until babies are going to be coming into your world, and you will be deciding from the first week, are we going to go stand in that nursery over a crib, granted with a baby that won't understand our words, but are we going to start the first week praying with that child and stay with it so that she never knows anything different from this?